This talk was originally given on the 10th yahrzeit of Harav Yaakov ben Chaim Yosef Zatzal, my father-in-law, Harav Yaakov Benjamini, and was given on the evening of Beis Adar in the year Tufshin Nun Gimel. In the Gemara Brachos on Daf Nun Ches Amid Beis, we have Rav making the statement, Ein Hamet Mishtakeach Min Halev Ela La'achash Ne'masach Chodesh, that a deceased person is not forgotten from our hearts except after a period of 12 months, Shene'amah, as it says in Tehillim, Nishkachti Kemet Milev Hayiti Kechli Oved, I am forgotten as a dead man who is out of mind. I am like a lost utensil. I mention this at this point simply to remind us why we have a Yahrzeit observance every year to keep the memory of the deceased, of the beloved one, fresh and green in our hearts, and to renew that memory each year. Our talk begins on the Gemara Shabbos, Peches Amid Aleph, where we have a statement, Hahu mina dechaz ye l'rava dekor ma'ayen bishmata, v'yatva etzba'ata didei totei ka'a. There was a certain mean, a certain non-believer, might have been one of the early Christians, and he was looking at Rava, who was studying intently and in intense concentration, and he was sitting on his hands, v'korma ya'etzbahu, his feet were pressing on his hands, v'kormab an etzba'atei dema, and causing his hands to flow with blood, and he was totally unaware of this. Amalei, this means, said to Rava, ama paziza t'kadmitu pumaychu le'udnaychu, you hasty nation that lets your mouth precede your ears. Akati b'vachazutaychu kaimitu. And you are still standing in your hastiness. Beresha iba'aya lechu l'mishma. Imatzitu kablitu. V'ilo lo kablitu. In the beginning, you should have been listening. And if what you heard made sense, then you should have accepted it. And if it didn't make sense, and you shouldn't have accepted it. What this mean was referring to was the pasuk in Shemos Mishpatim Kuf Dalad Zayin, Vayikach Sefer HaBrit Biyikrab Aznei Ha'am, and he, Moshe, took the Sefer, the Book of the Covenant, and read it in the hearing of all the people, or literally he read it into the ears of the people, V'yomru, and they, the people listening, said, Kol asher diber ha-Adonai na'aseh v'nishma. Whatever Hashem said, we will do, and then we will listen. What the mean is asserting, and what seems ostensibly true, is that it almost seems like an absurdity that first we will do. Whatever you tell us, we will do, and then we'll start listening. First of all, what could that possibly mean? Certainly, in order to do, I have to at least have heard the commandment. So you would think that nishma, that listening, shomea, would come before hama'aseh, before the doing, before the action. Of course, a careful reading of the text of the Chumash shows that the word shmia in many cases is used to mean not to listen or to hear necessarily, but to understand. For instance, in Bereishis, in Parsha Noach, Yud Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, Hava Nerda V'Navla Sham Sfatayim Asher Lo Yishmu'u Ish Sfat Re'ehu. Come, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Here we have an instance where the word Yishmu'u means to understand somebody else's language. Again in Bereishis, in Parsha Miketz, Mem Beis, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Vehem Lo Yadu Ki Shomea Yosef Ki Hameilitz Benotam. And they, the brothers of Yosef, did not know that Joseph understood them because there was an interpreter standing between them. Again here, the word Ki Shomea Yosef. They did not know that Yosef was Shomea, that he understood what they were saying, Ki Hameilitz Benotam, because the interpreter was between them. Again, in Sefer Devarim, in Pasha Ki Tavo, that's Kaf Ches, Pasuk Mem Tes, Yisa'adonai Alecha Goy Mirachok, Miktzei Haaretz Ka'asher Yid'eh Hanasher, Goy Ashalo Tishma Lishono. And the Lord will bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as the vulture swoopeth down, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Again, Goy Ashalo Tishma Lishono, a nation, we're using the word Tishma, Lo Tishma, you will not understand Lishono, its language. We also find in the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Gimel Amad Aleph, the statement Amakra Shema B'chol Lashon She'ata Shomea. When the text of the Chumash says the Shema, it means B'chol Lashon, in any language which you are Shomea, which you understand. So in all of these cases we see that the sense of the word Shema can be understood as to mean to understand. Of course, we might argue that the Armin in Masech the Shabbos on Daf Peches Amid Aleph understood this when he said, "Bereisha ibay lechu lemishma." In the beginning, you should first listen, imatzitu, and if you've analyzed what you've heard and understood it and it made sense, kabli tu, then you should accept it. The question of Armin still stands. And we can understand it as meaning, how can I possibly do without first understanding? The question is reinforced by the Or HaChaim in his Perush on the Torah, on the Parsha B'chukotai, in chapter Chaf Vav, where he states, Ki ikar ha-mitzvot v'to aliotam eino ela lamishi yodea ikaron v'ta'aman. The basis of all the mitzvos and what they hang on depends upon understanding their root and their purpose. Aval asiyat mitzvah below yediyat ta'am, but doing a mitzvah without understanding the reason for the mitzvah, harei hu oseh ma'aseh she'ein bo mamash. It's like doing something and you haven't done anything. Kaguf below neshama, it's like a body without a soul. V'timsa shekein katvu b'shem harav ha'arizal, and in similar fashion they wrote in the name of the Arizal, ki ma'aseh below kavanat hadava hu kechli reik sha'ikar hu hamachshava. That an action done without understanding what you're doing is like an empty utensil, because the main thing is machshava, is thought or understanding. We also have a statement from the Rambam in Hilchot Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel. Ein lecha mitzvah b'chol ha-mitzvot kulan shehi shekula keneged Talmud Torah. There is no mitzvah in the entire array of mitzvot which has the weight of Talmud Torah. Ela Talmud Torah keneged kol ha-mitzvot kulan, but rather learning of Torah has the weight of all the mitzvos collectively. Talmud mevi lidei ma'aseh, because Talmud, learning, brings to doing. Lefichach, therefore, Talmud kodem lema'aseh, learning comes before doing, b'chol makom, in every place. So the question now is reinforced, what could B'nai Yisrael have possibly meant when they said, na'aseh v'nishma? We will first do, and then afterwards understand. The first inkling of a resolution to this question I found in Pirkei Avos. in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Zayin, where Shimon ben Gamliel says, Lo hamidrash hu ha'ikar ela hama'aseh, that learning is not the main thing, but rather doing. If all of your learning was theoretical, or it was scholarly, and you were doing it for the sake of scholarship, but you were never going to get to perform any of the mitzvahs, all of the learning was for nothing, because the main thing is the doing of the mitzvah, the performance of the mitzvahs. Going back to the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Peches Amid Aleph, we have Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, "B'sha'ashik dimu Yisrael na'asel l'nishma, yatztabat kol ba'amralahen." At the time that Israel said na'aseh before nishma, that we will do, and then they said we will listen or we will understand, yatztabat kol, a voice from the heavens came and va'amralahen and said to them, Migila levanai razeh, who revealed to my children this secret, shemalachei hasharet mishtamshinbo, which only the angels in heaven were able to use. Diktiv, as it says, Baruch Hashem malachav giborei koach osei devaro lishmoa b'kol devaro. Let his angels bless God, those who are great in strength, those who do his word, to listen, to hearken to his voice and his words. Bereisha osei, v'hadar lishmoa. First we have the concept of doing, and only afterwards the concept of understanding. So notwithstanding our attack on the concept of na'aseh v'nishma, we have here a very strong statement from the Rabbanim, and in this case Rabbi Elazar, that glorifies the concept of na'aseh v'nishma, and in fact says that it's a raz, it's a secret that belonged only unto the Malachi Hasharet, the ministering angels to God, until the time that Bnei Yisrael said themselves na'aseh v'nishma. There is an interesting Mishnah in Edyot, Perek Beis, Mishnah Tes, where Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ha'av zochel levein benoi, v'korach, v'osha, v'chachma, v'shanim, v'mispah ha'terot lefanav, v'hu ha'keitz. Rabbi Akiva says, a father endows his son with beauty, and with strength, and with wealth, and with wisdom, and with the length of years, and also with hadarot lefanav, with all of the generations that came before him, v'hu haketz, and he, the son, is the conclusion of that linealogy. Of course, the question comes to mind when reading this Mishnah. What has Hadarot Lefanav have to do, the generations that came before us, what has that got to do with beauty, with strength, with wealth, with wisdom, length of years? All of these are physical, genetic characteristics that come from a parent. But Hadarot Lefanav refers to all the Rabbanim, all the Chachamim that came from generations gone by, going back to Avraham Avinu, and it refers also to all the Babis and the Zaydis that we can remember, and the good deeds that they have done. In this connection, I am reminded of a story that my mother tells about my great-grandmother, who we all called Mama. And my mother tells this in a letter that she once wrote, and I'm going to read part of it to you. Quote, when I was a very young child, I was in and out of the butcher store at 9 West 114th Street in Harlem constantly. Several of my aunts were always there, but only my grandparents would acknowledge my presence with a wink or a smile if they were busy. Very often I would sit on a bench on one side of the store and quietly watch them wait on customers. This is where I sat one afternoon, and nobody seemed to be aware of me. I was waiting for Mama to be free to talk to me. A man entered the store and stood at the end of the counter near the door. When Mama was free, she asked him what she could do for him. He wanted to talk to her privately. They stood in the doorway and held a conversation, but nobody could hear them. I heard my aunt say, "Here's where Mama starts handing out money again." I saw Mama begin to smile, broader and broader, until she was beaming. The man put something into Mama's hand, which she slipped into her pocket. They continued speaking for a few minutes. When the man left, my aunts came to the front of the store demanding to know what that was all about. Mama, still beaming and with that twinkle in her eye, told them that last year a man came in asking for an adava, for charity. She asked him why a strong young man should be begging for a handout. He told her his tale of woe. She took out $50 from the cash register and told him to go out and buy a pushcart and some merchandise and try to make an honest living. It was not nice for him to go begging. He took the money and did as she advised and did well. He had come to return the $50 she had loaned him and to give her his blessings. She had brought him luck. She said, "Sometimes you have to help people to find themselves. Sometimes it pays off." Mama was constantly giving charity, mostly when people weren't looking. How many times when I sat on that bench, I saw her fill a bag with meat and perhaps some chicken, carry it to the front of the store and quietly hand it to someone standing there. She must have had a regular clientele of charity customers, because there was hardly an exchange of words, just a smile on Mama's face, so they would not feel bad about taking it. I read this passage from my mother's letter because it is particularly relevant to the concept of Hadarot Lefanav. I had asked Rabbi Wasserman if it was legitimate to say Hadarot Lefanav included all the Bubbies and Zaydis as well as the Talmudei Chachamim of past generations, and he agreed that it was. And it is the memory of all of them collectively, either our personal memories or the memories of our parents and grandparents which have been handed down to us, or the memory of the Jewish people as it is preserved in Halacha and in the Midrashim and as it is preserved in the Talmud, of how, of what the Halacha was and how our Chachamim behaved and lived their lives. It is this memory which I understand to mean Hadarot Lefanav. And then I ask you to consider, how is it that we, each of us, learn to grow up and become mature human beings and observant Jews? For the most part, we grow up in our homes and we see how our parents act. On Friday night, my father makes Kiddush. On Shabbos morning, we go to shul. I listen to Kiddush. I say Amen. I take a sip of wine. The next morning, I go to shul with him. We learn by doing. In the chronology of a human being, of an individual person, it is usually the case that first we do, and only afterwards, as we grow and mature, do we begin to understand the import of our actions. Harav Baruch Halevi Epstein, the son of the Aruch HaShulchan and the nephew of the Netziv, in his own Perush on the Torah called Tosefet Bracha, on this very pasuk of Na'aseh V'Nishma writes, Shekavana Lama, the intention of saying Na'aseh V'Nishma, Shelo yamtinu lekayem hamitzvot ad asher yichakru inyano v'ta'aman. The purpose of saying Na'aseh V'Nishma is not that we should wait to perform all the mitzvahs only at the time when we perfectly understand their meaning and their purpose and we have delved into their foundations. Ach yikaimun, but first we must do the mitzvahs, v'achakach, and afterwards yavinu l'ta'aman. Only afterwards are we going to understand their purpose. V'hu aderech alashon, batilim. And this follows the language of Tehillim. Reshit Chachma Yirat Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of Hashem. Sechel Tov L'chol Oseihem. And everybody, anyone who then does the mitzvahs will then have Sechel Tov, a good understanding. V'hakavanahi, and the intention here is Shehasecha Yavo L'achah Asiyah, that understanding only comes after doing Aval Eino Ma'akev Et Ha'asiyah, but not understanding does not prevent doing. V'hi na'aseit b'tmimut al pi mitzvot Hashem. And this is doing with wholeheartedness, with purity of thought, according to the mitzvot of Hashem. U'misod ha'mitzvot huliyot tamim im Hashem. And from this foundation of doing mitzvot, you will be pure and wholehearted with Hashem, quoting Devarim in Parsha Shoftim Yudches Pasuk Yud Gimel. Tamim tiyeh im Adonai Elohecha. You shall be pure with Hashem your God. And Harab Baruch Halevi Epstein continues, Uma tov yipa'er lefi zeh hama'amah ba'avot de Rabbi Natan Perek Kav Beis. How wonderful an explanation we have here in the Avot of Rabbi Natan in Perek Kav Beis. Kol sheyirat chet o kodemet l'chachmato, chachmato mitkayemet. All whose fear of sin precedes his wisdom, then his wisdom will be enduring. Shenemaz, it says, Kol asher dibe Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. Everything that Hashem has said, we will first do and then understand. Ulecha'ora, ein mevu'ah ma'ata'am ri'iyazu l'mash amah mikodem. But it is not apparent how the statement na'aseh v'nishma is an explanation of kol sheyirat chet o kodemet l'chachmato. Anyone whose fear of sin precedes his wisdom, chachmato mitkayemet, then his wisdom will endure. So Harav Epstein goes on, Acha kavanah kamo shekatavnu, but the intention here is as we have written, Sheha'asiyah tzericha liyot kodem sheyavinu ta'am ha-mitzvot, that doing must precede understanding the reason of the mitzvot. V'al derech ha-lashon tamim tiyah, and according to this language, then you will be pure. Kamo shekatavnu, as we have written, V'az ma'aseh ha-mitzvot Tagain al ha'osim. Doing the mitzvahs will guard those who do them. L'kayem chachmato, to establish his wisdom, uvinato ba, and his understanding therein. B'ta'ama uv'inyana, of the reasons and the substance of the mitzvahs. Aval im yitchakam mikodem, but if he first becomes wise, Efshalo, it's possible, lihikashel b'milui ha-mitzvot, that he will stumble because of the multitude of mitzvot. He will get confused from the multitude and complexity of the mitzvot. U'mizeh nir'eh, and from this we can see, ki lo nachon perush ha-mefoshim b'ma'amar zeh, that the standard mefoshim on this statement in Avot de Rabbi Natan, Kol sheyirat chet'o kodemet l'chachmato, that the fear of sin precedes wisdom, and in that case sheha'perushu, that the understanding of this is shechoshei bilibo, that somebody who says in his heart, elmod b'shvil she'eye yirei chet, if I say that the explanation of Rabbi Natan is a denial of the statement or the belief that somebody can first learn in order to become a Yirei Chet. This, says Rabbi Baruch Halevi Epstein, is a misunderstanding of Rabbi Natan, because that's not what the Mishnah is saying. Rather, we have to remember that Rabbi Natan says, after quoting Kol sheyirat chetel kodemet l'chachmato, chachmato mitkayemet, shine'ema, as it says, Kol asher dibe Hashem na'aseh v'nishma, Na'aseh v'nishma is an explanation of this statement. Kol shiyiret chato kodemet l'chachmato. Chachmato mitkayemet. If I understand Harav Baruch Halevi Epstein properly, he is saying that it is the very doing of an act that leads to understanding. And therefore, if I am yirei chet, if I am afraid of sinning, of violating a commandment, then I will be actively motivated into the mode of doing, and thereby I will acquire understanding. But it is not a denial of the statement that if I continue to learn, that I will increase my yirei chet. Rabbi Wasserman in this regard also pointed out that translating the word shomea as understanding sheds light on understanding two pasukim in the Torah which precede the pasuk of Na'aseh v'nishma. In Shemos, in Pasha Yisrael, Yud Tes, pasuk Ches, V'ya'anu kol ha'am yachdav, V'yamru kol ha'shadibeh Adonai Na'aseh, V'yashev Moshe et divrei ha'am el Adonai. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people unto the Lord. Notice here in this passage, we have Kol Ha'am, the entire nation, Yachdav, together, said, Kol HaShadibeh Hashem, whatever Hashem said, Na'aseh, we will do. Again, in Mishpatim, in Perek Chav Dalad, Pasuk Gimel, V'yavo Moshe, and Moshe came, Yisapel Am et Kol Divrei Adonai, and he told the nation all the words of Hashem, V'et Kol Mishpatim, and all of his laws, V'ya'an Kol Am, and all of the nation answered, Kol Echad, with one voice, V'yamru, and they said, Kol Adivrei Moshe Diber Adonai Na'aseh. All of the things, all of the words which Hashem has said, we will do. Finally, in our passage of Na'aseh v'nishma, it says, again, we're in Shemos, Mishpatim, Kaf Dalad, Pasuk Zayin, Vayikach Sefer HaBrit, Vayikrab Aznei Ha'am. Moshe took the Book of the Covenant and he read it in the hearing of all the people, the Amru, and he said, and they said, Kol asher diber Adonai na'aseh v'nishma, everything that Hashem has said, we will do and then understand. What's interesting here is in this third pasuk, we have the word nishma. In the first two pasukim which I quoted, we have only na'aseh. And in both cases, you had the statement that Kol Ha'am, and Kol Ha'am Yachdav, the entire nation said, and they said it together, that we will do. Here, in this third pasuk, we don't have the word, or the idea of Kol Ha'am, the entire nation, or Yachdav, together, but simply, V'yomru, and they answered that everything that Hashem said, we will do, Na'aseh, V'nishma, and understand. And Rabbi Wasserman took this to mean that we will all do the mitzvos collectively together in the same way, but in terms of understanding the nishma, there we won't be collectively together. Rather, you will have a concept of elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. These and these are the words of the living God. We will have different understandings, different explanations, different interpretations of the Ta'amei HaMitzvot and the rationale for what we are doing. In another mode, we see that the idea of Na'aseh v'nishma is reflected in the way we put on tefillin. In Shemos Pasha Bo, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tes, we have a hayalacha la'ot ayadacha, and it shall be to you as a sign on your arm, ulazikaron bein einecha, and as a remembrance between your eyes, L'ma'an tiyeh Torat Adonai b'ficha, so that the Torah of Hashem will be in your mouth, ki b'yad chazaka, because with a strong hand, hotzi'acha Adonai mimi Mitzrayim, Hashem took you out of Egypt. Upon analysis, I have a strange conjunction of three elements here. First, I have a sign on your hand to remind you of what I, Hashem, did with a yad chazaka, with a strong hand. Uluzikaron b'neinecha, and it was only with then that I, God, acted that you can have a memory of what I did. And that's the zikaron b'neinecha, the remembrance between your eyes. L'ma'an tiyeh Torat Hashem b'ficha, and then, and only then, will the words of Hashem be in your mouth. Looked at from another point of view, first I have the arm, I have doing, then I have memory or understanding of what I'm doing, and only then can I open my mouth and speak the words of Torah. Put more simply, I first have action, then I have thought or understanding, and then I have speech. To say it again, first I am going to do, and by doing, I will fill out and make possible my understanding. And by doing and understanding simultaneously, this will shape my speech so that the Torah Hashem will be in my mouth. That when I open my mouth, I will speak words of Torah and not simply divrei chol, simply words of a workaday import. In psychological terms, you must do something in the world first in order to create a memory. And only then, when the conceptual element takes effect, then will your speech be properly formed and hopefully directed by the Torah, which you have learned all of your life. The importance of tefillin is emphasized by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which states, Shekol HaTorah Hukshah LaTefillin, that all of Torah is connected to the tefillin. In the Gemara Menachos, Daf Lamed Hei Amad Beis, we have the statement, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Birdi Amar Rav, Rav Shmuel Bar Birdi said in the name of Rav Amri, and there were those who said, V'Amri La, Amar Rav Acha Aricha, Amar Rav Huna, that Rav Acha Aricha in the name of Rav Huna said, V'Amri La, and others say, Amar Rav Menashe, Amar Shmuel, that Rav Menashe said in the name of Shmuel, Tefillin Me'ematai Mevarech Aleihem, when do you make a bracha on the tefillin? Misha'ah hanachatan, at the time of putting them on. Ini asks the Gemara, is it so? V'ha amar Rav Yehuda, amar Shmuel. Then here, look, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, kol ha-mitzvot kulam mevarech alehem ovel asiyatan. That with all of the mitzvahs, we first make a bracha before the doing of the mitzvah. Abaye, V'Rava da Amri Tarvaihu, both Abaye and Rava said, Misha'at Hanacha V'ad Sha'at Kesheira. This means that yes, you're going to put the tefillin on your arm, and you're going to hold it there, but before you tie the knot and tighten it, you're going to make the bracha, and then you're going to Kesheira, you're going to tighten the strap on your arm after you've made the bracha. Amar Rav Chista said, Sach, bein tefila la tefila, if you speak between putting on one of the tefillin and the other, chaza umuvarech, then you have to go back and make another bracha. Sach in, lo sach, lo. That means if you speak, yes, you have to make another bracha. But if you don't speak in and make an interruption, no, you don't make a second bracha. V'ho shalach Rav Chia, Berei de Rav Huna, Nishmei de Rav Yochanan, Al Tefila Shel Yad. And Rav Chia, the son of Rav Huna, sent a message in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Atfila Shelyad Omer Baruch Hashakit Shana Bamitzvata Vitzivanu Lahaniach Tefillin. On the Tefila Shelyad, the Tefila that you put on your arm, the bracha should be Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hashakit Shana Bamitzvata Vitzivanu Lahaniach Tefillin. Al Tefillin Shel Rosh, on the Tefillin that you put on your head, Omer, you should say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hashakit Shana Bamitzvata Vitzivanu Al Mitzvat Tefillin. On this, on the Tefillah Shel Rosh, you should say Al Mitzvat Tefillin. Abaye Varava Da Amri Tavaihu. Both Rava and Abaye and Rava say Lo Sach Mevarech Achat. If you haven't spoken in between the putting on of the two Tefillin, you should make one bracha. Sach Mevarech Shtayim. But if you've spoken, you should make two brachas. According to Rashi, this means that if you do not interrupt between putting on the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh with speaking in between, then you make one bracha, Shekhi Chana Bar Mitzvah Tav V'Tzivano Al V'Tzivano L'Haniach Tefillin. But if you speak in between, then you make a second bracha on the Shel Rosh Al Mitzvat Tefillin. And that's what we mean by Mevarech Shtayim. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, he learns this a little differently. That if you don't speak, you make one bracha. Mevarech Achat. You, on the Shel Yad, you make Lahaniach Tefillin. And on the Shel Rosh, you make Al Mitzvat Tefillin. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you speak in between the putting on the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, then you Mevarech Shtayim on the Shel Rosh. Then you say Lahaniach Tefillin and Al Mitzvat Tefillin. So according to Rashi, Mevarech Achat means I make one bracha for both Tefillin, assuming that I have not interrupted. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Mevarech Achat means I make one bracha on each tefillah, again assuming that I have not made any interruptions. And the bracha on the tefillah Shel Yad is Lahaniach Tefillin, and the single bracha on the Shel Rosh is Al Mitzvat Tefillin. But if I interrupt according to Rabbeinu Tam, then I make two brachas, Mevarech Shtayim, on the Shel Rosh, Lahaniach Tefillin and Al Mitzvat Tefillin. Whereas according to Rashi, if I interrupt, then I make a separate bracha on each tefillah. The first on Shel Yad, Lahaniach Tefillin, and on the Shel Rosh, Al Mitzvat Tefillin. The Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, Simen Chaf Hei, Seif Tes, that only when a person is mafsik and interrupts with speaking between the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, then he makes a second bracha on the Shel Rosh. So the Mechaber goes according to Rashi. There are more in this same section. Agrees with Rabbeinu Tam and disagrees with the Mechaber, and says that we always make a bracha on each tefillah. First, Lahaniach Tefillin, and then Al Mitzvah Tefillin, and only if you interrupt do you add a third bracha, which means two brachas on the Shel Rosh, Lahaniach Tefillin, and Al Mitzvah Tefillin. What I want to bring out in all of this discussion is the strong connection of the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh. The fact that the Rabbanim were concerned that there be no hafsaka, no interruption between the putting on of the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, highlights not just a technical concern that there be no interruption, but rather possibly leads to the strong connection between the idea of na'aseh v'nishma, that we will first do and then understand. Further on in the Gemara, on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, Rabbi Akiva makes the statement, Yachol yaniach adam tefillin b'shabbatot u'b'yamim tovim. I might have thought that I could put on tefillin on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, Talmud Lomar, but the Torah tells us, V'hara l'ot al yadacha, ulitotafot beninecha, it should be a sign on your hand, and for totafot between your eyes, mi shetzerichim ot yatzu, whoever requires a sign is yotze with this mitzvah. But the implication is that if you don't need a sign, then you don't have to put it on your hand to be an ot al yadcha. Rabbi Akiva goes on to say, Shabbatot v'yamim tovim shehen gufan ot. Shabbos and Yom Tov are themselves a sign. And therefore, I don't have to put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And therefore, I am not yotze with doing the mitzvah of lahaniach tefillin and putting on tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. This understanding of the concept of tefillin as being an oat also explains why in the case of muktzah, and in the case of let's say emergency, and I find tefillin on a road on Shabbos, and they are davar shebekedusha, and I don't just want to walk away from them and leave them lying in the road, that I am allowed to put them on my arm in a certain prescribed way, and to wear them on Shabbos and Yom Tov in order to save them. And this understanding of Rabbi Akiva would explain why that even in the case of muktzah, but I can pick up those tefillin and put them on, not l'shein mitzvah, not in order to perform the mitzvah of l'haniach tefillin, but in order to save them and protect them. Think about what Rabbi Akiva is trying to say here. Tefillin are an oath. They're a sign on your hand. Tefillin are a sign on your hand in order that you should have a memory between your eyes. What are they supposed to remind us of? Well, obviously from the pasuk that we quoted in Parsha Bo, they are to remind us that God took us out of Egypt with a strong arm. More specifically, if we look at the parshiot that are required to be in the tefillin, the four parshiot, Kadesh describes our obligation to remember Yitziat Mitzrayim, the leaving of Egypt. Vahayaki Yoviecha speaks of our obligation to transmit this tradition to our children. The Shema itself speaks of God's unity and our mutual bond of love, the Jewish people with God. And finally, Vahayayim Shemoah declares man's responsibility to God and our obligation to perform the mitzvos. At this time, please turn the tape to the other side. Rabbi Akiva is telling us that just as tefillin are an os, a sign of something beyond the object itself, so Shabbos Shabbos and Yom Tov are also signs. In Shemos Lamed Aleph, we have the well-known passage, V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et Shabbat, that v'nei Yisrael will guard the Shabbos, la'asot et Shabbat l'doratam, that they will perform the Shabbos for all of their generations, brit olam, an eternal covenant, b'ni uvein b'nei Yisrael, between me and b'nei Yisrael, oti l'ilam, it's a sign forever, that what? Ki sheshit yimim asa Adonai et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz, that Hashem created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, uv'yom ha-shvi'i shavat v'yinafash, and on the seventh day, he rested and renewed himself. Here we have a statement that Hashem is the creator of the world and that Shabbos is a sign of this. In Devarim, in the Etchanan Parakeh, we have the statement in Pasuk Tezvav, V'zachata ki eved hayita be'eretz Mitzrayim, and you should remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. V'yotzi acha Adonai alehecha misham, and Hashem, your God, took you out of there, b'yad chazakah, with a strong hand, u'v'zroa netuyah, and in an outstretched arm, al kain, and therefore, tzivcha Adonai alohecha, Hashem, your God, commanded you, la'asot et yom ha-shabbat, to observe the Shabbos. In this case, we have Shabbos as an oath, as a reminder, that Hashem took us out of the land of Egypt, and therefore he is in the category of manhig, that he directs and intervenes in the affairs of the world. These two concepts of Hashem as creator, as bore olam, and manhig, director and intervener in the affairs of the world, are both mentioned in the Kiddush that we say on Friday night. If you look there, it says, "V'Shabbat Kachav Yahava Uvratzon Hinechilanu," and with love and favor he gave us the Shabbos. "Zikaron L'Maaseh V'Reishit," as a remembrance for the creation, for the first creation of the world. And later on in the same Kiddush, it says, "Zecha L'Tziat Mitzrayim," that Shabbos is a zecha, a remembrance for the leaving of Egypt. So we see now why Shabbos obviates the need for tefillin. Shabbos itself is a reminder of Hashem as bore umanhig. I don't need to duplicate. I can wear tefillin on Shabbat in order to protect them or to save them from destruction because of their inherent kedushat haguf. But I don't wear them to perform a mitzvah of zikaron. Because of the key position that zikaron, memory, has in the life and the formation of the Jewish people, Chazal make an enumeration, ultimately, of 6 zechirot, 6 remembrances that are required of us deraisa from the Bible. And these are listed in the Sefer at the beginning of Parsha B'chukotai. They are also listed in most Siddurim at the end of Shacharis, the early morning service. They include the following: L'ma'an tizkor et yom tzedcha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha, that you should remember the day of your departure from the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. Number 2, Rak hishomelecha ushmor nafshecha ma'od, only beware and guard yourself carefully. Pentish kach et hadavarim asher ra'u einecha, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen. Ufen yasu milvavcha kol yimei chayecha, and lest they stray from your heart all the days of your life. V'hodatam levanecha v'levnei vanecha, and you are to make them known to your children and to your children's children. Yom esha amadata lefnei Adonai alehecha b'chorev, the day that you stood before Hashem, your God, at Sinai. The third remembrance is Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. Baderech betzeitchem mimim Mitzrayim, on the way as you departed from Egypt. Asher kacha baderech, as he encountered you on the way, v'yizanev b'cha kol hanechashalim acharecha, as he encountered you on the way and cut down the weaklings trailing behind you. And you were faint and exhausted. Elohim, and he was not afraid of God. And when it shall be that Hashem, your God, will give you rest from your surrounding enemies, in the land that Hashem your God gives you as an heritage to bequeath, timcha et zecha Amalek, then you are to erase, to blot out the remembrance of Amalek, mitachat hashamayim, from underneath the heaven, lo tishkach, do not forget. Fourth, we have Zachor, al tishkach et asher hitzavta et Adonai Elecha b'midbar. Remember, do not forget how you angered Hashem your God in the wilderness. And then we have Zachor et asher asa Adonai Elecha l'Miriam b'derech b'tzeitchem m'mitzrayim. Remember what Hashem your God did to Miriam on the way when you departed Egypt. And finally, Zachor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho. Remember the Sabbath day to hallow it. So we have six zechiros, key, six cardinal remembrances that are key to the history and the personality of the Jewish people. Number one, we have to remember the Exodus from Egypt. Number two, we have to remember that we received the Torah at Har Sinai. Number three, we have to remember Amalek. Number four, we have to remember the golden calf. Number five, we have to remember Miriam and what Hashem did to Miriam on the way when you departed Egypt. And finally, you have to remember the Shabbos. So I have a minimum of six zechiros, sheish zechiros. I must remember these events, and these memories make me what I am. They give me an identity. To sum up, Na'aseh v'nishma. I can't understand without doing. My father shows me what to do and how to do it. And this is the connection of the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh. The combination of understanding and doing will form and shape my speech. Through speech, I will fulfill the mitzvah of Zechira. And this in turn creates my identity. That I recognize Hashem as Bore, the creator of the world. That I remember and observe the Shabbat. That I remember that Hashem took me out of Egypt. And that Hashem is the Manhig HaOlam. He intervenes and conducts the affairs of the world. And that I stood at Har Sinai and received the Torah. That Amalek attacked me as I left Egypt. And that I must continually wage war against the Amalek. And that what Hashem did to Miriam, and therefore that I am careful to observe the prohibitions against Lashon Hara. So by uniting doing, thinking, and speaking, I become a totally integrated personality and create a unique identity. I am part of an Am Levadad Yishkon, a unique and isolated people. So if I learn the secret, the Raz of the Melachim, and I understand the concept of Os, of what is a sign, and then finally, these memories will become so conscious within me, and so much a part of me, that they will finally fill up the words of my mouth. And so the Navi tells us, "Ani zot briti otam," and as for me, Hashem, this is my covenant with them. Amma Adonai, said God, "Ruchi asher alecha, my spirit which is upon thee. Udvarai asher samti paficha, and those words which I have put in your mouth, lo yamushu mipicha, will not leave your mouth, umipi zaracha, nor the mouth of thy children, umipi zera zaracha, nor the from the mouth of thy grandchildren, ama adonoi me'atav yad olam, said Hashem, from this time and forevermore.